going to be reading a section from verses 145 to 152. I call with all my heart, answer me, Lord, and I will obey your decrees. I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life, Lord, according to your laws. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever.
Who knows this song? Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my... Remember from The Sound of Music? There's thunder and there's lightning and the children are afraid and they all come running into Maria's room and Maria teaches them a song to sing. When the dog bites, when the bee stings, when I'm feeling sad, I simply remember my favourite things and then... And it's a song that retunes the children's hearts. The thunder and lightning were making them feel sad. But now, in the words of the song, now they don't feel so bad because they're thinking about their favourite things, schnitzel and noodles. And in the Psalms, the king is teaching God's people songs to sing that will retune our hearts to keep us close to our God. In The Sound of Music, there's a storm, there's thunder and lightning. In our psalm, it's not a storm. Look at verse 150. Those who devise wicked schemes are near, but they are far from your law. Here are people who are far from God's law. They're the sort of people who say, well, of course, God's ways are out of date, you know. Actually, God's ways are quite dangerous. They're quite hateful. Of course, God's ways, I mean, they will ruin your life if you go God's way. And that's why they devise wicked schemes against David. They plot against King David because King David loves God's law. He spent this whole psalm celebrating how God's ways are beautiful, how they set us free to live the life we were created for. But these people, they don't want to hear that. So they are near. They are at the door. They are about to confront David. So it's not a storm. It's not thunder and lightning. But it's when we're under attack for being a Christian. It's when your friends at school just laugh at you for believing God made the world. It's when colleagues accuse you of being intolerant. It's when someone in your family lays into you for putting Jesus first. And how do you feel in moments like that? It's worse than sad, isn't it? It's desperate. So desperate, there are times when we're tempted to just walk away from God. And what we've got here is a beautiful thing, because what we've got here is the King teaching us a song that will retune our hearts, to stop us from walking away from God, to keep us close to Him. The first thing this song teaches our hearts to do is to cry out to the Lord. Did you catch that? Verse 145, I call with all my heart, answer me, Lord. Verse 146, I call out to you, save me. Verse 147, at the end, I rise before dawn and cry for help. And we are kind of schooled to deal with things in our own strength. And sadly, even in our life together as a church, we're sometimes a little bit afraid to admit weaknesses. The family lay into you, and perhaps you think, well, I've just got to tough it out. You know, how are you? I'm fine. And you're not fine. And this song reminds us that we don't have to pretend that we can handle things, because the truth is we can't. The truth is the basic shape of our relationship with God is we can't handle things. But He can. He can. And that's why this song teaches us to call out to Him. Do you see verse 145? With all my heart, in that moment, when we're under attack. She says, don't tough it out. Say, I'm fine. That's when we desperately need him. So we cry out with all our hearts for him to save us, to help us. But what is it that the psalmist asks for? Well, when I am under attack, what do I ask for? Well, I kind of ask that I won't be made to look stupid. I ask that I won't lose my job, that I won't get into trouble, that they won't hate me. What does the king ask? Well, I think in a line, this king asks for God's help to obey God. He asks for God's help to obey. 145, I call with all my heart, answer me, Lord, and I will obey your decrees. 146, I call out to you, save me, and I will keep your statutes. You probably know that decrees and statutes and testimonies and laws and commands are just some of the different words the psalmist uses to describe one thing, God's word. And he's saying, answer me and I will obey your word. He's not striking a deal. He's not saying, if you answer me, if you come good, then I will obey you. The sense of it is, answer me so that I can obey your word. It's the same in 146. Save me so that I can keep your statutes. Remember, you see, the people who are near to David are people who are far from God's law. They attack David because he lives by God's law. And when people attack you for going God's way, what's the temptation? Stop going God's way. If telling the truth to the client is getting me in trouble with the boss, what's the temptation? Stop telling the truth. If giving money to those in need is why your family are having a go at you, what's the temptation? Stop giving money to those who are in need. When they try and put you down and make you feel small, what's the temptation? Well, to put them down, make them feel small. When they try and hurt you, what's the temptation? Hurt them back. It's kind of easy, isn't it, to use their ungodly behavior to justify behaving in an ungodly way. So do you see what the king is asking? The attackers are near. They're at the door. And when they confront me, when they put me under pressure to abandon your ways, whatever happens, please help me not to cave in. Help me to keep going your way, to live by what you say, to obey your decrees, to keep your statutes. This is the song the king of Israel is singing, and he's teaching his people to sing along with him. And of course, as we've said before so many times, the king of Israel is a shadow of the king who would one day come. Do you remember the Lord Jesus when he was under attack from Satan? The devil tries to stop him from going God's way. He says, worship me, you can have the whole world. But Jesus refuses to cave in. He says, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Another time, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. In other words, he is the one who lives to obey his Father in heaven. And the Apostle Peter says of Jesus, he committed no sin, no deceit was found on his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Do you see, he never used their ungodly behavior to justify behaving in an ungodly way. He was under attack for going God's way like no one else has ever been under attack since. But he never caved in. His heart was all to keep going God's way, to keep obeying his decrees, to keep keeping his statutes. And so the song that Israel's king begins to sing in the Psalms kind of falteringly, in the end is the song that King Jesus sings perfectly. And it's a song he calls us, his people, to join in with. So what would it mean to join in with this song? I wonder what sort of a week you face, how you might be under attack for following Jesus, for going God's way. Maybe there's someone at home, or there are people at work, or it's friends, or it's the authorities who want to stop you from following Jesus in some way. In that moment, when the attacker, as it were, draws near, what will you want? The king is retuning our hearts. He's teaching us that more than anything else, he wants us to want to obey God's decrees, to keep his statutes, that whatever happens, we would keep going God's way. And friends, isn't that what we do long for? Oh, I'd love to be able to do that, but it's so hard. I do long to keep going God's way under pressure, but I'm not sure if I can. But friends, remember who we are. If we are Christians, we're not just people who are following the example of the King, gritting our teeth, forcing ourselves to try and sing this song again and again. Matt said it earlier in the New Testament. Christians are described as being in Christ. It means we're one with our King. We're joined to Jesus like a branch and a vine, like a man and a wife. We are in Him, and He is in us. By His Spirit, He is powerfully at work in our lives. So when we cry out to Him and ask for His help, it's not just He will hear, but He will act. And He will give us His power to go His way. The song retunes our hearts to ask for His help to obey. Secondly, this song retunes our hearts to ask that He would keep us close to Him. The week before last, we went on a three-day break as a family, and 50% of our family don't really do camping, so I thought, could I persuade them with some glamping? And booked three nights in a cabin on the Gower Peninsula. Now, in my mind, I had pictured the cabin as very definitely in the woods. Because when you think cabins, you think woods, don't you? In a cabin, in a wood, the little old man by the... In a wood, cabins, definitely in a wood, okay? I was thinking remote spot, off the beaten track. We got to the owner's house, which was down a lane, just off a quite noisy A road. And I thought, well, what there'll be is there'll be some path out the back that will lead down to the woods where the cabin will be. He took us around the side of his house. I was kind of taken aback to discover that the cabin was, in fact, in his garden. Now, when I say in his garden, don't mishear that, because that kind of makes it sound like the owner had quite a big garden, and down the far end of it was a cabin, you know, well away from his house. It was more accurate to say the cabin was the owner's garden, right up against the back door of the house, and between the house and the garden fence was the cabin. And I was a little stunned, to be honest. I thought, this isn't a cabin in a wood. And I had a sort of feeling as though I'd been had, you know, and I was sinking into, very unhelpfully, bitter disappointment. And then I realized he'd never said it was in a wood. My imagination had placed it in the woods. He had said you could walk to the beach from the cabin, which was true. He'd never said the cabin was in the woods. And often we are disappointed in the Christian life because we hold God to promises He has never made. Why didn't He heal her? Why didn't I get the job? Why did it rain on our summer holidays every day? And we feel He's let us down, but He hasn't promised to heal us. He can, but He hasn't promised. He's not promised that we would get a job or that life would be sunny. So what the psalmist teaches us to do is to pray in line with what God has actually promised. 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I've put my hope in your word. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night that I may meditate on your promises. Do you see that? I've put my hope in your word. It's not just he asks for the outcome he wants. It's I put my hope in your word. I'm praying for an outcome that's in line with what you have said. And he says, I meditate on your promises. I'm taking in, what do you want? See, he doesn't just throw out a shopping list to God and say, well, here's some of the stuff I want. He's there, he's there. Do you see that in verse 47? He rises before dawn. He's up early, and then his eyes stay open through the watches of the night. He's up all night with his Bible open, asking, what does the Lord want? What are the Lord's promises? And he prays the promises. He says, Lord, please, would you do what you said you would do? Because this isn't about what I want, it's about what you want. And again, this king is a shadow. of the king. The king we see in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you remember facing the full cost of what it will mean to go God's way in the face of opposition, facing the agony of the cross, and what does he pray? Not my will, but yours. And through this psalm, the king is teaching us to sing. He's retuning our hearts to his heart, to pray with him, not my will, but yours. Well, please don't mishear. It's not wrong to ask the Lord for healing. It's not wrong to ask for his help to find a job or to give us a husband or a child or a sunny weather on holiday. Of course it's not wrong to ask. We turn to our Father in heaven with all the cares and anxieties that are on our hearts, and he hears us. But the point is, if he doesn't bring healing or provide a job or husband, and we don't pass our exams, we mustn't think he's let us down. Mustn't grow bitter towards him, disappointed, because he's not promised those things, but some things he has promised. And in 149, the psalmist prays one of the things the Lord has promised. Do you see 149? Hear my voice in accordance with your love. Preserve my life according to your laws. He's praying in accordance with your love. He's praying in accordance to your laws. I've been reading my Bible, and I see that there is something you want to give to your people, something you've promised to give to your people, and that is life. Our translation has it, preserve my life. Literally, it's just give me life. Give me life. And in our culture, life is what? It's weekends with friends, isn't it? It's traveling, it's eating out, it's having a family, having a successful career, those are the things that we call life. They make life worth living. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life in all its fullness. And we think, what does he mean? I have come that they might go whitewater rafting? What does he mean? And he goes on to say, this is life. This is life, that they know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent. Life is knowing God. Life is the relationship with God that Jesus has made possible. To be loved by him, to love him. That is what makes life worth living. So do you see what the psalmist is praying? When they confront me, whatever happens, give me life. Most of all, I pray that you would draw me closer to you. And that is a good prayer to pray. Because he's not promised that it will all work out fine and that people will stop bullying us and that we'll keep our job and we won't have to go to prison. But he has promised to give his people life. Because that's why he sent his son. To restore us to the relationship with him that we were created for. To bring us closer and closer to him until one day we stand before him and we see him face to face. So when we are under attack for going God's way, here's the song that he teaches us to sing. Lord, whatever happens, help me to obey you. Lord, whatever happens, give me life. Keep me close to you. And you say, but why? Why would we pray this? Why would we pray this? Because it could be costly to pray this. Keep going with God. You could lose your friends. You could get overlooked for promotion. You could get arrested. Why would you want to just pray this prayer? In our lives online, what are the moments when we post hashtag blessed? When we get the grades? When the holidays are sunny? When the results are all clear? When we have the baby? Hashtag blessed. You read through the Psalms and you see for the psalmist, the great blessing is to be able to say, verse 151, yet you are near, Lord. The attackers are near, but the Lord is nearer, so I am blessed. And again, don't mishear this. Friends and family are a blessing, aren't they? But they don't always get us. He does. They are not always there for us. He is. He is with us always. They sometimes let us down. He never does. They can't actually save us. They can't actually give us the life that we were created for, the life that starts now and then carries us through death and on into a world made new. They can't give us that life. But he can, and he does. If I have him, if I can say, yet you are near, Lord, then I am truly, #blessed. I have to say that where he goes next kind of puzzled me. Look at verse 151. Yet you are near, Lord, and all your commands are true. Long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. You are near, and all your commands are true, and all your statutes last forever. What? Why sing that bit now? I think it's something like this. When we're under attack for going God's ways, we're liable to stop going God's ways. Because the attackers will say, oh, why are you living according to some dusty old book? Oh, but our conviction is that this dusty old book is the living God telling us how to live. And what he says is true. And when he says, don't lie, or sex is for marriage, or be generous to others, that is not just some kind of random rule that our religion requires of us for no apparent reason. It's true. It's how things are. It's how we were created to live. And he goes on, long ago I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. Kind of makes me smile, and it kind of makes me sad the way we look down on the ways of older cultures or other cultures. And we say, well, of course, that's just what they used to think in those days. Forgetting that in 100 years' time, people will look down on the ways of our culture and go, of course, yeah, that's just what they used to think in those days. And if you think that all our values, all the things that we believe, all the things that we think are worth living for and fighting for are just the creatures of a particular culture, then that kind of takes the stuffing out of living for them and fighting for them. Because in 100 years' time, people will look down on us for living for them. They'll say, well, no, just a creature of a particular culture. You see what the psalmist is saying? Long ago, I learned from your statutes that you established them to last forever. So your ways are not the creatures of a particular culture. They last forever. They are the ways that human beings were created to live from culture to culture, from generation to generation, forever. You see, what's the link? You are near, and all your commands are true, and all your statutes last forever. What's the link? I think he's saying that they attack me because I go your way. And they're trying to draw me away from you. I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to listen to what they say. I'm going to listen to what you say, because I know that your commands are not just random rules. They're true. They're eternal. They're how you created us to live with you. I know that to walk away from your commands is to walk away from the life you saved me for. It's to walk away from relationship with you. See? So I'm not going to listen to them. All that matters is that you are with me, and I'm going to live by what you say. And in the end, it seems to me the song retunes our hearts. It teaches us to sing that what matters more than anything else is our relationship with the Lord. When we come under attack for going his way, that's why we don't cave in. That's why we don't walk away from his ways, his commands, his statutes, because we don't want to walk away from him. The beautiful thing is, if we pray this prayer, we join in with this song, we're not kind of twisting his arm to get us to listen. This is a prayer our King is teaching us to pray. As we said earlier, if we're Christians, we are in Christ. The whole reason God has joined us to Jesus is to restore us to the relationship with him we're created for. So when we pray, Lord, help me to obey you. Lord, keep me close to you. That is totally in line with his purposes. That is a prayer he delights to answer. Won't mean life will be easy. May lose friends. May miss out on career moves. It might cost us. But it will mean we can say, Lord, whatever happens, you are near. And that means whatever happens, if you can say that, you are truly blessed. Let's pray. yet you are near, Lord. Thank you that because of the Lord Jesus, we know that's true. Thank you that you're not near us because we've had a good week or a bad week. Thank you that you're near us because of him, because we're united to him. And we pray that you'd show us more and more how precious it is to have you near us. And we pray that you would lead us into a deeper and sweeter experience of that relationship with you that the King has made possible. And pray that for the honor of his great name. Amen.